Welcome to this podcast on exploring sexual violence in the Our Voices 2 Youth Advocacy Project. The Our Voices 2 Project is coordinated by the International Centre researching child sexual exploitation, violence and trafficking at the University of Bedfordshire in the UK. As part of the Our Voices 2 Project, the International Centre is working in partnership with three national NGOs in Europe. Different and Equal in Albania, the National Centre for Child Abuse Prevention in Moldova and ATINA in Serbia. Each organisation is implementing participatory advocacy activities in their respective countries with young people affected by sexual violence. The Our Voices 2 Toolkit was written for adult facilitators from these three NGOs to help them support young people who are current and former service users to design and plan an advocacy campaign on sexual violence against children. The toolkit is divided into four sections. Section 1 looks at how to create a safe space in a group setting. Section 2 explores sexual violence. Section 3 focuses on children's rights and children's participation. And Section 4 is concerned with participatory advocacy. In this podcast, I speak to Delphine Peace at the International Centre, who was involved in designing Section 2 of the toolkit, which focused on how to explore sexual violence with the young people, or as they're referred to in this project, youth advocates. Delphine will talk about why we think it's important to discuss sexual violence with youth advocates, what was covered in this section, and provide some feedback from the facilitators and youth advocates about how they found exploring this topic together. Hi, Delphine.
Hi, Claire.
Hi. So firstly, can I ask why you included a section on exploring sexual violence in the toolkit?
Sure. So as part of the Our Voices 2 advocacy project, youth advocates had to develop their own advocacy campaigns and activities that addresses some aspect of sexual violence in a local context. So as a starting point, we felt it was very important to ensure that the young people were all on the same page in terms of their understanding of sexual violence. When we visited Albania, Serbia, and Moldova during our initial scoping visits, professionals we spoke to said that children and adults generally don't talk about sex and relationship in those countries, and that sexual violence in particular tends to be considered as a taboo subject. They said that many people do not understand what constitutes abuse and violence, and that many young people do not feel able or know how to report acts of sexual violence, and they often face stigma and distrust when they do disclose. So in light of these particularly challenging contexts, we felt it was important for youth advocates to have a clear understanding of the different forms that sexual violence can take, including less obvious ones that may be considered as normal. And we also thought it would be helpful for them to think critically about harmful attitudes and misconceptions related to sexual violence and consent, to help them think about what changes they would like to influence and how they might go about influencing that change through advocacy. So this section of the toolkit gives facilitators some tools to help them discuss this sensitive topic with youth advocates.
Great. Okay, so what does this section of the toolkit actually cover? So what's involved in this section?
So the section of the toolkit starts by exploring the different forms sexual violence can take, and it then explores the definition of consent. And we think that understanding what we mean by giving consent is really integral to facilitating a good understanding of sexual violence. And the third and last part of the session encourages youth advocates to explore some of the misconceptions and harmful attitudes and behaviors related to sexual violence and consent in their own contexts. Parts of the toolkit were adapted from an existing program called the 12-Session Life Skills and Leadership Program. So this was a program that was written by Abby Billinghurst from the organization Abianda, and it was part of the LEAP project. The LEAP project was funded by the Rights, Equality and Citizenship program of the European Commission, and it supported young people in Europe who were affected by sexual violence to develop their own youth-led activities on sexual violence prevention.
Great. And that was also a project at the International Centre, is that right?
Yes, it was also with the International Centre.
Great. And as you mentioned before, sexual violence is a really sensitive topic. So what can facilitators do to ensure the well-being of the youth advocates or the young people during these particular sessions?
Right. So at the start of the session, facilitators should recognize that sexual violence is a sensitive subject that may raise personal and strong emotions in the group. They should make the group feel at ease by making it clear that if anyone feels they need a break or if they would like to talk outside of the group, then they can request this. Facilitators should also remind youth advocates that this session will not require them to talk about their personal experiences, but instead to talk more generally about this topic. It's also a good idea for facilitators to remind the group of the group agreement that they signed up to at the start of the project, and to reiterate the importance of confidentiality and boundaries. So facilitators can also ask the group if they would like to add anything to the group agreement prior to starting the session.
Great, okay, thanks for that. And so how do you explore sexual violence as a topic with youth advocates? What kind of activities and exercises do you look at?
Through brainstorming exercises and various activities, youth advocates reflect on their understanding of what constitutes an act of sexual violence. So for example, facilitators can use scenario card exercises to explore different situations and to discuss whether these constitute forms of sexual violence and why. So at the International Center, one of the ways we work with young people to help them understand sexual violence is to explore the meaning of consent with them. And again, we think that understanding what giving consent mean is really key to understanding sexual violence. Mm-hmm. Scenario cards can also be used to explore youth advocates' understanding of consent and whether they think that consent has been given in each scenario. And facilitators can ask probing questions and pick up on differing views, particularly in the scenarios where it's not so obvious that an act of sexual violence has taken place or that consent has been given. And this can encourage debate within the group. When discussing sexual violence with youth advocates, we suggest that facilitators link the discussion to an official definition of sexual violence. So in the Our Voices project, we use the definition of sexual violence that is provided by the Council of Europe Convention on the Protection of Children Against Sexual Exploitation and Sexual Abuse, which is also known as the Lanzarote Convention. The Lanzarote Convention describes behavior that constitutes sexual exploitation and abuse in Articles 18 to 23. National definitions of sexual violence can also be used if available. We think that it's important to connect youth advocates' projects to the broader national and even international picture, to remind them that their work is part of wider efforts to support young people who are affected by sexual violence.
Great, that's really interesting. Thank you for that. And you talked about having a good understanding of consent as being really key for young people when it comes to trying to understand sexual violence. Does the toolkit use a specific definition of consent?
Yes, so we included the UK legal definition of consent, as we think that it helps to understand the key components that make up consent. So the UK definition is taken from the Sexual Offence Act of 2003, and it states that a person consents if he or she agrees by choice and has the freedom and capacity to make that choice. And facilitators said that they found this definition really useful to frame the conversation around consent, and particularly as there are no legal definitions of consent in their respective countries.
Great, okay, thanks. And you said that this section of the toolkit also explores kind of misconceptions or harmful attitudes and behaviours that might be linked to sexual violence. And what can you kind of explain what you really mean by that?
Sure. So there can be many myths or misconceptions surrounding sexual violence, and these can be shaped by socially and culturally accepted views of what constitutes appropriate sexual behavior for men, women, and young people. So for example, common misconceptions around sexual violence can include the belief that sexual violence against children is very rare, that men are always the offenders and women always the victims, or that an act of sexual violence has to involve physical contact. So when working with young people, professionals may be influenced by these misconceptions and they may display harmful attitudes or behaviors, sometimes without realizing the harm that this can cause young people. For example, research shows that a common barrier to engaging with professionals, which was highlighted by young people, is the use of victim-blaming language, so implying that the victim is somewhat responsible for the abuse they experienced because of how they behaved or the choices they made, like getting drunk at a party or dressing a certain way, for example. And refusing to believe victims of sexual violence or stigmatizing them are also examples of harmful attitudes. When discussing these misconceptions and harmful attitudes with youth advocates, it is important to also consider the implications of these. So, for example, responding to a victim with stigma or disbelief may condone sexual violence, it may prevent impunity, and it can also discourage other victims from speaking out.
That seems like a really important part of the toolkit to explore those issues. Mm. And can I ask, because I know the project is kind of underway, so what feedback on this section of the toolkit did you get from the facilitators who took part in the project?
So we had some really interesting feedback. So all three partners were worried and concerned at the start about how the sessions on sexual violence would go. And they talked about the fact that although they had conversations one-on-one with the girls, the young youth advocates they worked with, about their experiences of sexual violence, they were not sure how to handle these conversations if they came up in a group during these sessions. However, they were surprised at how well the sessions went, and they all commented on how it had gone much better than they had anticipated. And all the partners had spent time really thinking and planning the sessions to ensure that they were handled really sensitively. And the facilitators shared that the youth advocates responded in different ways. So in Albania, the group did not share any personal stories during these sessions, but in Serbia and Moldova, there was some sharing of experiences.
Right, that's interesting then that, all the partners had a similar concerns, but then also talked about how it was handled differently and how it was a lot more positive. And what about feedback from the youth advocates? Do you know how they felt about those sessions?
Yes, so the youth advocates in Serbia talked about this section being the longest and that it was hard in some ways, as it made them think about and remember their own experiences. Mm-hmm. They talked about how it made them angry when they understood how widespread sexual violence is, and how it had affected everyone in the room in different ways. We asked the youth advocates whether, given they found it difficult, they felt it was important for young people to discuss sexual violence. And they all agreed that it was really important, as they now had a much better understanding of what sexual violence is, and they know how to respond to it and what they can report to the police.
Okay, that's interesting,
Yeah, absolutely. And they also understand that their experiences fit within a wider context so that it goes beyond the personal. In Moldova, one of the girls also talked about how due to the project, she now realized that sexual violence doesn't just affect 10 or 12 children. It's affecting hundreds and thousands. Another youth advocate spoke about how although through the project they were learning about all of these problems, they were also learning about solutions and being involved in bringing about change, which was a positive thing. Mm-hmm. And in Albania, the young people also talked about the fact that they didn't really understand sexual violence before and that now they do. And they also spoke about how before the project, talking about sexual violence was a taboo, but now they felt they could talk about it much more freely.
Great. That sounds like really positive feedback then, all in all. And that's really interesting. Can I also ask where listeners on the podcast might be able to get a bit more information about this toolkit and about the learning from the project in general?
Yes, so we've developed a series of briefing papers which give an outline of the different sections of the toolkit, along with some examples of activities and references to useful materials and resources. We are currently analysing the data from the Youth Advocacy Project, and the learning will be shared via the Our Voices website in the coming months. So that's r.voices.co.uk.
Great. Thank you so much, Delphine, for sharing your learning around developing this section on the toolkit and the outcomes of that. And thank you everybody for listening to this podcast. And as Delphine said, please visit our website, Our Voices, to access and listen to the other three podcasts that look at the different sections of the toolkit. And bye for now.